You're listening to Van Sounds. I'm Phil Corbett. Before we get started, regular listeners will know that I play in a band called People with Bodies, along with Van Sounds contributor Kent Irwin and good friend Mark Nesbitt. In this episode, we are touring through the Northwest together, so you will hear me refer to both Kent and Mark by their first names. We'll be traveling as a band a lot more often, hopefully, so it'll be worth remembering their voices. Also, just a heads up, there are curse words in this episode. All right, let's do this. Small highway, crossing the Idaho-Washington border. Kent, Mark, and myself are on tour with our band People with Bodies, and we're packed into the back of my pickup truck. This election cycle seems louder than before. More hostile, more frustrating, and most of all, more absurd.
Besides the hashtags, there are already nasty woman t-shirts.
Now, somewhere else in America, who early voted,
claimed Proposition 64,
was upset that they already had when they learned that. I don't know if that's the case or not.
Even in the middle of nowhere, there is no escaping the noise. Far off of the freeway in rural Washington, Clinton is still on every radio station, and signs for Trump still whiz past the windows.
The only reason why rural people are supporting Donald Trump is because he's not a politician. He might be rich, but he's not a politician.
That is the owner of America's largest private tiger sanctuary, and also current candidate for president of the United States, Joe Exotic. You may have seen his campaign video on John Oliver's Last Week Tonight.
And then there's independent writing candidate Joe Exotic.
First thing is, I am not cutting my hair. I'm not changing the way I dress. I refuse to wear a suit. I am gay. I've had two boyfriends most of my life. I am broke as shit. And this is all paid for by the committee of Joe Exotic Speaks for America.
Wow. Just... wow.
Kent and I caught up with Joe on the phone.
Well, you know, my legal name is Joseph Maldonado, and I operate one of the world's largest collection of tigers. We have 214 tigers here.
So you are running for president?
Absolutely. A normal person like me and you are never given the time of day by politicians that are accepting money from lobbyists and special interest groups and so on and so on to hear our voice before they impose a law on our rights. The only way they're going to listen to us is if I sign up and run for president. Filled out my papers, mailed them in. Made that first video announcing that I was running for president, put all of my skeletons out there in public so nobody could talk shit about me, and I've been on their butt ever since. I've been to so many debates, listening to, you know, local politicians running, and I've listened to, you know, Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio and all of them. And they want to run this country by their Bible? You can't. I don't care who you are. There are too many people in this country with too many beliefs. And if you got such a closed mind that your Bible's the only one that you can run this country by, we're headed for disaster.
What do you think running a zoo and running a country might have in common?
I don't think it's any different. You know, I could go out there and put a tiger in his place, and I could go over to North Korea and put that bastard in his place, or I could go to a children's hospital and help a dying kid. It's all the same. And that's probably the most interesting part about, you know, I mean, being openly gay. I've been fucked with, I have been picked on, and I have been bullied for 53 years of people that don't agree with my lifestyle. And that has changed who I am about being prejudiced and accepting people for who they are. So you got to have a rough side and you got to have a compassionate side, but you have to act on both of them.
The man behind the music.
I'm smart enough to understand and know that it's too late to win this election, but you're going to see me in 4 more years. Thanks, guys. All right, bye-bye.
Question 2 would make recreational pot legal in Nevada. In Colorado, pot-related traffic deaths are up 62%.
Think recreational pot is no big deal? Colorado legalized edible pot 2 years ago. Emergency room visits for children who accidentally consumed it have doubled.
Recreational pot is a terrible idea. Don't let it happen here.
I'll get you high off a trip. Tripping up a slip. Loose khakis in my pokey pick grip.
The sun was out when we cruised into Seattle. The state of Washington legalized recreational marijuana in 2012, so we walked into a weed store and bought a joint. Recreational marijuana is on the ballot this year in California, Maine, Arizona, Massachusetts, and my home state, Nevada. Leaning over the illuminated countertop of small labeled pot jars, Kent brought up Seattle rapper Squeak Nutty Bug, who had this hit in the 90s, "I'll Get You High." Squeak is kind of the Snoop Dogg of Seattle, and he is still making music. So we found him on Facebook and invited him to a baseball game.
Yeah. I'll get you high, that's it. Yeah. I'm Squeak Nutty Bug, OG, C-Town Slugger.
And where are we?
We are in Seattle at the Seattle Mariners Safeco Field. Hot lyrics straight from the street, period. I expressed myself. I wrote a song saying I'll get you high just so I can smoke weed to my goddamn self.
Endo tripping, I get you high. I get you high. I get you high. I get you high. Endo tripping.
Since weed has been legal here in Washington, how has it changed?
When it wasn't legal, there was way more money, way more appreciation, and way more love. Now that it's legal, it's a cash cow. People recognize it, but they're missing the real roots of it. It's positive in a lot of ways because we're not getting sweated so much. I tell you this, half of these penitentiaries are filled up with cats that were smoking weed. The only reason they even got talked to is because somebody smelled some fucking weed.
So it's on the ballot in Nevada to legalize this year.
Biggest little city, you guys better get hip.
so you would say yes, vote yes? Is that what you said?
Amen. Vote yes, not only because, you know, when you're in the desert, you want some water because it's hot. But so you in the desert and you blowing on some dro, change your whole mind. You might not get so thirsty. You know what I'm saying?
I'm Pat Hickey, and I'm the spokesperson for Protecting Nevada's Children, the coalition in Nevada opposing the Question 2 ballot initiative.
Protecting Nevada's Children is the group that made these commercials.
This is today's pot, 10 times stronger than a marijuana cigarette.
They have been playing a lot on local TV and before YouTube videos.
Well, proponents of legalization will make the case that by legalizing and regulating and taxing marijuana, monies will be gotten for Nevada schools, which everyone agrees is needed. Secondly, they would argue that it will get rid of for the most part, illegal dealers and cartels. And thirdly, that it'll be kept out of the hands and out of the reach of children. Now, obviously, I think each of those are false promises. Let me tell you the difficulties there will be for Nevada to do this. And this was told the head of taxation, who will be the government agency in Nevada to regulate this. Three things. He said this will be far more complicated than you think. It will take much longer than you think. And maybe most importantly, to Nevada taxpayers, it's going to be much more costly than you think. We're going to have a very large agency that's going to have to learn to do things like test potencies, deal with pesticides and mold and background checks.
Pat explained the logistical problems in a lot of detail, both product regulation and tax issues that come with a cash-only business that is still illegal at the federal level. But that seemed very far from the smoldering wastelands of Colorado and Washington from the commercials.
You know, taxation, the fact that the state wouldn't be able to control that much regulation seemed like very reasonable problems. And I wonder why the campaign is largely about Nevada's children and why a lot of the ads are, you know, frankly, pretty scary and, you know, fear-based.
That's a good question. You know, the reality is in media-driven campaigns, this is what you end up doing. And the other side is, of course, doing the same thing. They're tugging on heartstrings, much as you might say proponents are in pointing out about problems with DUIs or emergency room visits to kids. But, you know, I'm hoping that people will look at it, you know, in a more serious, deeper way with respect to what it really means for public policy. So those are the things that I talk about.
So in short, hey, that's politics. On the way home, after touring in my pickup truck for probably way too long, the band bought a tour van. A 1986 Toyota named Van. It still needs a bit of work, but it is damn cool. I will post a picture on the website.
The new Toyota van.
The past 4 months or so have seemed like a really tense time in America, or at least the parts of it that I've been zigzagging around. I can feel it. The cracks between the city and the boonies, the freeways and the back roads, the people seem to be, if not widening, at least a little bit more visible. I personally can't think of a better time to buy a car and try to drive across as many of those cracks as possible. Van Sounds is produced by me, Phil Corbett, in collaboration this week with Kent Irwin, who runs the website howlsroad.com. The music on this episode was in order our opening song Church by Porter, Lights in the Sky at Night by Miller Six, Got My Head Spinning by friend of the show T. Hayes, I'll Get You High by Squeak Nutty Bug, Traveler by Odyssey, and finally this song, As I Walk You to Your Death, by show favorite, Ecleptinsung. As always, all of the music will be linked in the episode description. You can find Van Sounds on Twitter, Facebook, PRX, iTunes, and at our minimal website, vansounds.org. If you like the show, let somebody know. Post it on social media, leave a rating on iTunes, or just send a text to a friend. Those things really do help. Thanks for listening.